If you're a big outdoorsman, did you know bats were the only mammal that could fly?
Yeah, I knew the answer. I felt like I was actually listening to the show prior to when you guys went to break. So I heard the question. I felt like I was Bruce Wayne being asked a question by the Riddler, and I was like, the answer is a bat. So nice. That was my Batman voice. But yes, I did know the answer. Bat.
Dave, Edmonton fans, the organization, the players, obviously gutted with their the loss to Vegas. They felt like missed opportunity for them. I'm sure Toronto's in the same boat. Seattle, the same thing. New Jersey, although maybe not New Jersey or Seattle, because they first kind of time there for a lot of those players with that group anyway, and so they're happy about it. But you look at Toronto and you look at Edmonton. Kyle Dubas's press conference said, hey, anything is on the table there. A, do you think he's coming back as GM? And then B, do you think they're going to make a big splash as far as a move this offseason?
Well, look, I mean, we were sitting in the room yesterday when Kyle Dubas took to the podium. And I looked around, and quite frankly, there were a few people with their jaws wide open. I mean, it was a press conference the likes of which we haven't heard in this city in quite some time. And let me be clear. He made the statement first off that he addressed his future, right? I mean, that's the elephant in the room, right? So he addressed it before even taking a question and said what he said, that he has to speak with his family, that it's been a really difficult year on his family, and that he won't be popping up elsewhere if it's not here in Toronto. That was wild. And, like, first off, I hope everything is good at home. And I think it just goes to show you the stress that executives of Canadian teams, especially here in Toronto, are under. And it was quite staggering, really. You think, put yourself in that position. You're the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs, as I understand it, would like Kyle Dubas back. And he's not in a position right now from a personal standpoint to accept that job. Think about what must be going on in his life, the amount of stress that his family is under. And he's right now weighing whether or not that's worth it. Anybody in their mother would kill for that job, right? But he's not in the position to accept it. So I think that puts into perspective what he is dealing with, and you hope everything is good. So from that point on, fellas, I thought, why are we even bothering to ask any more questions? Because if he's not ready to commit and someone else ends up coming in, everything else that he said is completely moot. But in saying that, look, do I think he'll be back? Like, I have to put a percentage on it right now. It would be under 50. It really would, the way he spoke. It would be under 50. And then, at that point, I think everything else is on the table based on what the new person decides to do. But even if he does come back, it certainly seemed as though he suggested that he was more than willing to consider something, including trading one of the big four, in a way that he never entertained in the past. So to say it was a bombshell of a press conference, I honestly don't think that is going too far. I think it really, really was in a lot of extent.
Wow, under 50%, that's unbelievable. So if let's say he doesn't return, where does that leave Sheldon Keefe?
Oh, I don't think if Kyle returns or not, Sheldon Keefe is in a real good position. Again, Kyle Dubas did not give him anything that resembled a vote of confidence compared to in the past, where last year at this time he went on and said, look, everybody talks about coaches like Joel Quenneville or Mike Babcock. I don't know if he said Joel Quenneville. No, I don't want to get into it. You know what I mean, though. But, like, Barry Trotz was hanging around at this time of the year, last year, and he mentioned some of those guys by name. And he said, I firmly believe that in 5 to 10 years, people are going to be talking about Sheldon Keefe in that way. That's what he said last year. didn't say that this year. He essentially said, we still need to undergo an evaluation before we get to that point. So that was not encouraging. If I'm Sheldon Keefe hearing that, and hearing what Sheldon had to say, you know, it essentially seemed more like he was reading his resume than anything else. So, you know, I think the easy thing right now, if Kyle comes back, is to make a coaching change. Because it's easier to change the coach than the players. And the coach has been here for four playoff runs. Four. And he has won one series. As shelf life goes for head coaches today, that's a lot of kicks at the can. To come back for a fifth year, I mean, my goodness, I don't know too many coaches that get that kind of leeway. Even guys that are more tenured, more experienced, more successful on their resume than Sheldon Keefe. I would be really surprised if a coaching change is not made, because I think it's not to totally lump all the blame on Sheldon, because I don't think he deserves all of the blame. But it's easier to change the coach than the players, and I think if you're going to stick with the players, which I could see, wouldn't guarantee it like I would have last year, but I could see them coming back with the same core. Because think about how it works, right? You deal with the upset and all that now. Then the summer goes on. Everybody forgets about it. You ask a few questions in training camp, yada, yada, yada. You play 15 games in October, and they go, you know, 10-3-2, and all the fansies are all excited because Austin Matthews has 12 goals in 15 games, and Mitch Marner has 25 points, and yada, 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 away we go. I could see that happening, but I think in saying that, it's time for a different voice behind the bench, because for whatever reason, the mix as it is comprised with the players and the coach, it's just not working.
Dave McCarthy joins us from Sirius XM. Dave, you look at the teams now into the Final Four, Florida, Carolina, Dallas, Vegas. I know there's lots of people, this is a terrible final. See, I don't really, to me, I don't watch the games because of certain teams in it. To be honest, I never have. The exact same thing is on the line starting Thursday. That was exact same last year, the year before that. There's a chance to go to the Stanley Cup final for four teams. I maybe I'm in the minority. But I don't watch because Boston's in the conference final more than I would if Florida is. Actually, the Florida right. Panthers storyline is one that's very intriguing to me. I'm like, hey, they just beat two really good teams in Boston and Toronto. Like two teams with over 110 points. Can Bobrovsky continue it? That's a storyline to me. I think Carolina's had the easiest path to the conference final. Maybe I'm wrong, so I want to watch and see if I'm wrong on that. Also, I want to see if Jordan Martineau can continue his out-of-body run, which is great to see.
And then, you know, Leon Draisaitl here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. It's two points a game. He's outscoring McDavid and Draisaitl in the second round. Who would have had that? But, you know, then Vegas, I'm like, hey, Vegas, 6 years in, they've had a lot of success, but they've never won. Can this be the year? Or, you know, in Dallas Stars, can Dallas win with aging guys? Pavelski, Jamie Benn. I know they got Robertson, but he hasn't done much. Pavelski's been way better than him. So I do find storylines. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. I find it funny, people who go on about, well, you know, gigantic metropolitan area A or gigantic metropolitan area B isn't in, so who cares, right? Like, do you like hockey or not? I think, you know, what you're losing, I guess, from a league standpoint with Chicago or New York or L.A. or Boston or Toronto not being in it is you're losing the casual fan that may not watch the regular season, but there's a lot more people in those cities that, oh, geez, the Leafs or the Hawks sure. or Boston's in the conference final. Okay, maybe I'll tune in now. And there's just more of those people than in Raleigh or Sunrise or of that nature. I guess that's what you're looking at. But hockey fans are hockey fans. You're going to watch hockey regardless of who's in the playoffs. And I'm with you, Gregor. I think there's a lot of compelling storylines here of teams. You know, look, Dallas hasn't won a Stanley Cup since, what, 1999? Carolina since 2006? Vegas has never won, and Florida has never won. So you're going to get a team that's going to win a Stanley Cup that is going to be able to shed a lot of past either playoff or in some cases just organizational failure, because like a team like Florida barely ever gets in the playoffs. So there's compelling storylines that way. To me, Carolina is a really cool story, because I thought last year at this time they needed another player. I didn't think they had enough game-breaking type guys. They went out and got a guy in Max Pacioretty. Unfortunately, he's been hurt the whole year. And then they lost Andrei Svechnikov. And then they lost Teuvo Teravainen, who didn't have a great regular season, but is a quality player for them. Guy that's certainly capable of elevating his play in the playoffs in, what was it, game 1-2 of the first round. And they've just chugged along really without issue. And now I think they're going to get Teravainen back pretty soon. It's really impressive. A year where I thought, wow, they don't have a hope now because they weren't good enough last year. I think on paper they're worse, that they've plugged through. Now, you're right. Who have they beaten? The Islanders and the Devils. Probably the easiest path through the conference finals to this point. And now you get a team in Florida where if you had asked, I think, a lot of folks within the Carolina organization, privately, because no one's going to admit that publicly, but certainly a lot of Carolina fans publicly, hey, getting you to the conference final, you take on Florida, you sign off on that? Like 100 times out of 100, right? Now, in saying that, you can't overlook Florida, because I think the Maple Leafs did to an extent. The head coach said it yesterday that perhaps they weren't as committed. Committed wasn't the word he used, but you know what I mean. Like, just really zeroed in off the hop of that series in game 1 and 2, and the series got away from them. So you better not take Florida lightly if you're Carolina. I don't think they will. But this is a real opportunity now for Carolina to get through to the Cup final and then take on either Dallas or Vegas. Like a couple of good teams, but not a wagon like the Avalanche last year, to win a Stanley Cup for a team that's been knocking on the door for the last 4 or 5 years.
Of all the teams left, which player do you think is kind of building maybe like a legacy for themselves that it wasn't there before?
Ooh, good question. I'm just trying to go through in my mind here. I guess Joel Pavelski would be my answer now that I think about it, because he's always been thought of as a guy who is really productive at this time of year. You look at the guy's playoff numbers, the guy elevates his game. He seems to get better at this time of the year. He's never won, right? Like, he's been right on that precipice, but he's never pushed through and won. And, you know, I know, Gregor, you and I have talked about this on my show a number of times. When you look, you know, once it's all said and done in a guy's career, and you look at how many Stanley Cups the guy has, like, how much does that factor into your perception of his career or not? I think there's arguments to be made on both sides. You know, it's not always within your control as an individual how many Stanley Cups that you win, but it certainly is nice to have at least one of them beside your name. And at his age, 38 years of age, if he could be a significant part of it, which he has been for Dallas, and finally push through and win, you know, and for a lot of guys on that team that have been around quite some time, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. Seguin's already won, but I mean, he was a bit part, right, in his rookie year in Boston, to really be a central figure of the team. You know, that would be pretty cool for Jim Nill to show that after all those years in Detroit where he was Kenny Holland's lieutenant, that he could build a team on his own and have a Stanley Cup attached to his name with his name at the head of the organization, right? I think that would mean a lot to him. So yeah, I think Joe Pavelski would be that guy. Just at his age, what he's continuing to do. He had 8 goals in the second round. That's unbelievable. You know, and not only that, he continues this pace. Probably not going to have 8 goals in the third round. But if he continues to really be a big part of this Dallas team, like if the playoffs ended today, he might be my Conn Smythe pick. And I think he's an absolute candidate at this point.
Davey, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Have yourself a wonderful week, and we'll have some more non-hockey trivia for you on Tuesday.
Can't wait. I love it. I love it.